The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning, human.
Good morning.
I'm Valerie Bayless, and I'm a member of this congregation. As you all know by now, our minister, Reverend Dave Dunn, is on sabbatical. Our speaker today is human member Deborah Burrell, who will lead our flower communion service. On behalf of Deborah, our Director of Religious Exploration, Lexi Tagney Brown, Music Director Alex Peach, our beloved choir, my fellow worship associates, and the dedicated technical team that's making today's live stream possible, I'd like to welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we lovingly call Human. We're a liberal faith community with a mission to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, and transform the world. No matter who you are, whom you love, or where you are on your spiritual journey, you're welcome here. For anyone who's visiting us, please feel free to scan the QR code on the back of your program today or on the table in the foyer. All ages are welcome in service. There is a fidget shelf for children of all ages in the back of the sanctuary, and nursery care is available. Religious exploration for children and youth takes place today at 11:15 in Discovery Hall. The RE schedule for the next several weeks is in your printed order of worship, and today's second hour adult enrichment are also listed. Next Sunday on April 7th, we will launch a new five-part adult enrichment class. UU Prayer is a second hour offering that dives into the topic of prayer historically, culturally, and in our own lives. The class will be led by new member Merritt Pennick, who's been attending Human since last year and joined the congregation in February. The class will meet downstairs in Fellowship Hall and run through May 12th. We're also happy to amplify that President Biden has announced that today, March 31st, is Transgender Visibility Day. And the Social Justice Ministry is having their monthly meeting during second hour today and has some exciting news to share. And finally, the Lunch Ministry meets after second hour. Departing human around 12:15. Please note the whiteboard in the lobby for this week's location. And this month's 50-50 recipient is Cats in the Cradle Feline Rescue. Two of my cats came from there. Half of today's plate offering, as well as any checks or Givelify donations specifically designated as 50-50 during the month of March, will go to support the work of Cats in the Cradle.
Just a few minutes, we'll have our flower communion. It's a colorful ceremony that brings together some of our UU principles. The flowers come in an amazing variety of form, fragrance, and color. The uniqueness of each one symbolizes our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of each person. Gathered together in these bouquets, they represent our diverse community and our acceptance of one another, which is our third principle. And in addition to their beauty, many flowers produce edible fruits or seeds, so they help to sustain us body and soul. And that's a good reminder to respect the interdependent web of existence that we are a part of, which is our seventh principle. The flower communion started in Czechoslovakia more than 100 years ago, with Unitarian minister Norbert Čapek. Čapek was a lot like many of us in that he shopped around a good bit before landing in the Unitarian Church. He was a Bohemian by birth and also by nature. He was born in 1870 to an agnostic father and a devout Roman Catholic mother, which must have made for some tension at times. He was raised Catholic, but he became disillusioned with the church after serving as an acolyte. So at the age of 18, he became a Baptist, and later he became a Baptist minister, and he founded several churches. Gradually, he became more liberal in his theology, and the articles that he wrote attracted unfavorable attention from the government. This was on the eve of World War I. So in 1914, he fled with his family to the United States, and he eventually joined the Unitarian Church in Orange, New Jersey. That was, in 1914 was when he fled. In 1921, he joined the Unitarian Church in New Jersey. And like many in our congregation, he and his wife were initially drawn in by their children's enthusiasm for the religious education program there. After World War I, he returned to the newly independent Czechoslovakia and founded the Unitarian Church in Prague. It was there, on June 4th, 1923, that he introduced the Flower Communion. The idea was simple. Each member would bring a flower to combine in a large bouquet, and each would leave with a different flower. Čapek said, "We have chosen flowers, nature's most tender, common, and beautiful gift, as our symbol and sacrament. A flower is divine. You cannot create it, whatever effort you make. What is supposed to be expressed in our symbol, our sacrament? Each of us is symbolized in a flower. Flowers together in a vase symbolize fellowship, our commonality." It was originally called the Flower Celebration, and it was a response to complaints by some in the congregation that the church lacked a spiritual dimension. Hard to believe, but those congregants couldn't agree on how cerebral or how spiritual they wanted their services to be. The Flower Communion helped to bridge that divide. And it was Čapek's wife, Maya, who introduced the Flower Communion in this country at the First Parish Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts, in the spring of 1940. She had been ordained as a Unitarian minister in 1926. She had come back to the U.S. to raise funds for relief work after Nazi Germany invaded Czechoslovakia on the eve of World War II. Norbert Čapek had decided that he was needed in Czechoslovakia, so he stayed behind. Shortly after that, he was arrested, and he died at the hands of the Nazis in 1942. We honor his memory today as we continue the Flower Communion tradition that he started. One definition of communion is simply an act of meaningful sharing. It comes from the same root as community, and our ritual helps to strengthen our community. Ours is not a top-down doling out of wine and wafers from a priest, but an exchange among equals. We bring flowers. They mingle in vases. Each bouquet is more beautiful in its entirety than any single blossom. And each of us will leave with a flower that someone else brought. We may not know who brought the flower that we leave with or even how to pronounce its name, but it doesn't really matter because we've each given something of ourselves to this bouquet, and the flower we leave with is a symbol of the whole community and the individuals who compose it. The first Flower Communion was held in June, but in our church and most UU churches, we hold it on Easter Sunday when other churches are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. I think that's perfectly appropriate. The story of Jesus is an ancient and significant story, but the springtime resurrection of flowers is an even older story, and it's one that we can witness for ourselves. The word Easter derives from a Germanic pagan goddess of spring, Ostara, that predates Christianity. And Easter's date varies according to the pagan rhythms of the vernal equinox and the full moon. After a harsh winter, the blooming earth has always reminded us, not just once 2,000 years ago, but every year, that life, and therefore hope, is constantly being renewed. A flower is a symbol of resurrection that we can see and grasp. We humans have cultivated flowers for at least 5,000 years and used them in religious ceremonies around the world. The ancient Egyptians placed them in tombs so the deceased could enjoy them in the afterlife. Today, we place them on tombstones for the comfort of the living. But more often, they're used to celebrate weddings and birthdays and other happy occasions. We use them to say, "I love you," or to ask forgiveness. In the 60s and 70s, during the height of the flower power movement, we used flowers to symbolize and promote peace. and in our sanctuary, we display them to elevate our worship services. It shouldn't be surprising that they've been a part of religious ceremonies for millennia. Don't we come to church seeking meaning for our lives? A free and responsible search for truth and meaning is our fourth principle. For many of us, a connection with nature is a part of that meaning. And I think that that must be true for one of my favorite authors, too. In Michael Pollan's book, The Botany of Desire, A Plant's Eye View of the World, he writes, "Look into a flower, and what do you see? Into the very heart of nature's double nature, that is the contending energies of creation and dissolution, the spring toward complex form and the tidal pool away from it." Apollo and Dionysus were names the Greeks gave to these two faces of nature, and nowhere in nature is their contest as plain or as poignant as it is in the beauty of a flower and its rapid passing. There, the achievement of order against all odds and its blithe abandonment. There, the perfection of art and the blind flux of nature. There, somehow, both transcendence and necessity. Could that be it, right there in a flower, the meaning of life? Traditions have power only if they attach to meaning and fulfill a need. I hope that you'll find meaning in the flower communion as we celebrate our individual worth, our beautiful, diverse community, our place in the interdependent web of life, and the exhilarating renewal of spring. Note your flower's particular shape and beauty. Please remember to handle it carefully. It's a gift that someone else has brought to you. It represents that person's unique humanity and therefore deserves your greatest care.
And now we will extinguish our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
Former First Lady, Lady Bird Johnson, actively promoted the planting of roadside wildflowers. She said, "Where flowers bloom, so does hope." We have so much to hope for in the coming days and years for our congregation, for the nation, and for the world. May we draw inspiration from these floral messengers of hope. Go in peace. Thank you.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.